Today is Holy Thursday, and the epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, when you come together, therefore, into one place, it is not now to eat the Lord's Supper. For everyone taketh before his own supper to eat, and one indeed is hungry, and another is drunk. What have you not houses to eat and drink therein? Or despise ye the church of God, and put them to shame that have not? What shall I say to you? Do I praise you? In this I praise you not, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, Take ye and eat. This is my body, which shall be delivered for you. This do for the commemoration of me. In like manner also the chalice, after he had supped, saying, This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink for the commemoration of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the chalice, you shall show the death of the Lord until he come. Therefore, whosoever shall eat this bread or drink the chalice of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and of the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the chalice. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, not discerning the body of the Lord. Therefore are there many infirm and weak among you, and many sleep. But if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But whilst we are judged, we are chastised by the Lord, that we be not condemned with this world. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 13. Before the festival day of the Pasch, Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And when supper was done, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, knowing that the Father had given him all things into his hands, and that he came from God and goeth to God, he riseth up from supper, and layeth aside his garments. And having taken a towel, he girdeth himself. And after that he putteth water into a basin, and began to wash the feet of the disciples, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. He cometh therefore to Simon Peter, and Peter saith to him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith to him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou shalt have no part with me. Simon Peter saith to him, Lord, not only my feet, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not but to wash his feet, but is clean wholly. And you are clean, but not all. For he knew who he was that would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. Then after he had washed their feet and taken his garments, being sat down again, he said to them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, being your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you do also. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the epistle for today's Mass, St. Paul gives a brief account of the Last Supper. He himself was not there, but what he tells us is what was told to him. Thus, on the night before his passion, our Lord gathered with his apostles at the Last Supper. He knew that he would be betrayed that very night into the hands of his enemies. Our Lord knew the evil deed the traitor Judas was about to do. Our Lord also knew that in just a few hours, the other apostles would abandon him in the Garden of Gethsemane. But despite all this and his approaching passion, he poured out his sacred heart to his beloved apostles. He revealed to them the mystery of his love. When he first sat down with the apostles, our Lord said these wondrous words: "With desire have I desired to eat this Pasch with you before I suffer." St. Alphonsus de Liguori says that by these words our Lord expressed the desire he had to unite himself to us in this sacrament of love. St. Lawrence Justinian says that these words were words which came from the heart of Jesus, which was burning with infinite love. He writes, "This is the voice of the most ardent charity." St. John in his Gospel relates to us what the Sacred Heart of Jesus felt at the Last Supper, for he was the one who listened to the beatings of the Sacred Heart. St. John tells us, "Jesus, knowing that his hour was come, that he should pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them unto the end." Our divine Savior loved his creatures even to the time of his death. But not only did our Lord express his great love in his words, he also proved his love for us in his actions. Our divine Savior was about to leave them, both by his death the following day and also by his ascension 40 days after Easter. The thought of this separation was too much for the Sacred Heart. And so he devised a means of staying with us, and that means was the Blessed Sacrament. At the Last Supper, when he was at table, he took bread into his hands. He gave thanks and broke the bread. And then as his Sacred Heart overflowed with supreme love, he said, "Take ye and eat, for this is my body, which shall be delivered for you. Do this in commemoration of me." Then in like manner, he took the chalice into his hands. After drinking a little from it, he said, "This chalice is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you shall drink for the commemoration of me." Now, my dear friends, today we celebrate two of the greatest mysteries of our faith. We commemorate and we celebrate the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Priesthood. We celebrate these marvelous gifts our Lord has given us by using white vestments and by ringing the bells at the singing of the Gloria. By the institution of the Holy Eucharist and the Holy Priesthood, our Savior gave us the means by which he would feed our souls with his own body and blood, and be really and truly present with us until the end of time. And when you consider the circumstances of the Last Supper, we see how much more significant is the love of our Lord. Judas, the traitor, is there at table with our Lord. The apostles will abandon him in a few hours. They also are seated with Jesus. Ever present to our Lord are the indescribable pains and torments he will undergo the next day, and the unspeakable agony he will experience this night in the Garden of Gethsemane. At the very time when men were plotting his death, he thinks of us and gives us this last proof of his love. But my dear friends, for 2,000 years now, our Savior has waited patiently in the tabernacle. He has waited for us to draw near to him. And he has been there to offer us strength and consolation. At the Last Supper, he looked down through the ages. He saw how often he would be forgotten and neglected. He saw how many times his real presence would be denied by heretics. He saw the sacrament of his love desecrated by those who hate him and his church. And he saw the many lukewarm and indifferent holy communions of those who profess to be his friends. But still, the thought of the comfort he could bring to souls by his presence, and of the love he could receive from them in return, these things move the Sacred Heart to go ahead with his divine plan. After our Lord offered that first Mass, he then made his way out of the city of Jerusalem to a small hill just east of the city. At the base of this hill was a garden in which olive trees grew abundantly. Our Lord had often brought the apostles there to pray, and thus Judas knew exactly where to lead the soldiers after he had betrayed our Lord. But as the apostles approached the garden, it became obvious that something was different about this man. As they approached the garden, our Lord stopped the 11 apostles and told them to wait for him. "Sit you here," he said, "while I go yonder and pray." And then, taking Peter, James, and John, he entered the garden. A great weariness seemed to overcome him, as though he could barely walk. Turning to the three, he said, "My soul is sorrowful even unto death." That is, my soul is so filled with sorrow that if I were not sustained by my divinity, this sorrow would be enough to cause my death. "Stay you here and watch with me," he said to the three. And then, going a little ahead, St. Matthew tells us, he fell upon his face praying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me." Our Lord was filled with a mortal fear, a fear of the impending passion and death he was about to undergo. He foresaw each stroke of the whip, the crowning with thorns, the nails that would pierce his hands, and the lance that would pierce his side. But even greater than this fear was his sadness, a sadness unto death. For he also saw that despite his sufferings, men would be ungrateful. Men would continue to sin, and they would continue to lose their souls. It was not the thought of his physical sufferings that hurt our Lord most in his agony. It was the thought of men's failure to appreciate what he was about to do. After praying for a time, our Lord drew himself up and returned to Peter, James, and John, seeking the consolation of their company. But they were too tired. They had fallen asleep. There is so much contained in the words of our Lord, those pitiful words that he addressed to St. Peter. Sleepest thou? Could you not watch 1 hour with me? It's as though, speaking to St. Peter, our Lord spoke to all his friends and followers through the ages, those who, despite their protestations of love, would be cold and indifferent toward him when it became difficult. And so, having encouraged the three to pray, our Lord again returned to prayer. If this chalice may not pass away, but I must drink it, he told his heavenly Father, thy will be done. He offered himself up completely to the will of his Father as a victim for the sins of men. But this resignation did not lessen the fear and sorrow he felt. Again he arose, and again he went to the apostles to seek comfort in his sufferings. But they were too tired, and so they slept again. By now his agony was so intense that he began to sweat blood at the thought of what was to come. A third time he prayed, and a third time he returned to the apostles. But still they slept. And throughout the years, my dear faithful, our Lord has endured this abandonment again and again in the tabernacle, where he eagerly awaits us, and where he is so often disappointed by the coldness and indifference of men. At the end of Mass this morning, we will process from this chapel to the altar of repose, and I will place our Lord in the tabernacle of this beautifully prepared altar. And then we will take the place of his apostles. We will go back to the garden 2,000 years ago. We will consider him pressed to the ground by the weight of our sins, begging us to spend at least 1 hour with him, offering him the consolation of our love. The Sacred Heart of Jesus, my dear friends, makes an appeal to you to make reparation to his most sacred heart. Through the mouth of his prophet David, our suffering Savior says to us, I looked for one that would grieve together with me, but there was none. And for one that would comfort me, and I found none. This day and throughout the night, he asks each and every one of us, he pleads with us, with the same words he spoke to St. Margaret Mary. He asks, will you at least give me the consolation of supplying for the ingratitude of men as far as you are able? Do not let these words ring as sentimental talk in your ears, but rather take them to heart and truly realize what our Savior has done for us. For almost 2,000 years, He has left his heart on our altars, abandoned by the majority of men. Let us therefore show our gratitude then by keeping him company at the altar of repose. Let us, with the help of his Holy Mother, comfort and console his most sacred heart by remembering his passion. The majority of men have abandoned him, but will you be his faithful friend? God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.